It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of John, John chapter 20. We're going to begin reading with verse 27. John chapter 20, verse 27 through verse 31. John chapter 20, verse 27 is where we're going to begin. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Our mailing address here is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Visit our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I would love to hear from you. We have much on our website there. You can get the Sunday morning message. You can get any of the radio programs that we have, and we have a pretty good list of each one in place. And so please check it out. See if you can further your time and your study in the Word of God. Now that you have opened your Bibles to John chapter 20, we're going to begin reading with verse 27. John chapter 20, verse 27. Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Please, let's go to the Lord in prayer now after reading his precious word today. Father, I thank and I praise you that we can come and enjoy this wonderful time together. Please that you will guide and lead us and strengthen us in this life, that we may walk a walk that's pleasing to you, Lord. It's wonderful to be a believer in Jesus Christ, as John is talking here by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and gives us those wonderful words, the reason and the purpose that this has been written. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful studies that we have had. Look forward to today, that we may draw closer to you. And those, Father, do not know you as their Savior, that today they'll come to know you as their Savior. It's a wonderful experience to be a believer. It's the only life that's available is eternal life. It's life that you give us. Now, Father, please guide and lead us. Bring us to the cross of Calvary if we don't know you, and draw us closer and closer to you if we do, that we may grow each day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we look at these verses of Scripture, and each time that we look at some very familiar ones, and many people are very familiar with the story of Thomas. And so we look now at Thomas and at what has been going on. We find in a little review, you know me well enough if you've been with us very long, that I'm a constant at reviewing. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said, Thomas said to them, "Except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." You know, that's so sad. A couple things that Thomas is doing here. The promise that he has, everybody calls him Doubting Thomas, but it's actually Unbelieving Thomas. And Thomas, yes, has this problem of unbelief, but he has another problem here. He's setting the rules for the Lord. He says, this is the way it's going to be, unless, look at that, isn't that quite a, except I shall see his hands. Unless you do this, I will not believe. That's a very dangerous thing to do. I praise the Father that he is willing to have the Son and the Son show Thomas the very things he asked for. But please, don't bargain with God. God will show you. Ask him to give you the strength. Show you his power and his strength. But here he did not seem to criticize nor condemn Thomas. He just gave him the very testimony that he was asking for. we have the two names up here in verse 24, Thomas, one of the 12, which is called Didymus, and the Didymus is his Greek name. Thomas is Aramaic, and both believe twin. It means to be a twin. The twin of Thomas, a brother or sister, were not told, but there it seems like that there probably is a twin, and maybe the purpose of this meaning of Thomas and of Didymus, the word twin, is that, and another purpose why we don't know who it is, that we may put ourselves there. There are many times that we will doubt, question, that we will have this time of unbelief, and we need to be reminded how that Thomas inquired and how that the Lord Jesus answered. It's good for us to know and to learn. Now, once again, we've looked at Thomas, we've looked at Didymus, we've looked at what those words mean in their given language. We have read through verse 25 of the demands that Thomas has made. We find that in the verse 26, they are meeting a week later. It says, and after 8 days, and we talked about that last time concerning the 8 days, counting the very day, counting Sunday, and off to the next Sunday, they would count a partial day. They were meeting on the first day of the week. We know that according to verse 19. Then the same day at evening being the first day of the week. And I believe that they came together once again the first day of the week on Sunday. Thomas missed the first day, didn't he? He didn't seem to. One of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 24 tells us of this same chapter. Now this time, 8 days later, Thomas is there. And the Lord Jesus, as Thomas had requested, gives the very evidence that he wants. Now if you call upon the Lord, if you lack faith, if you lack strength, if you do not believe, all you need to do is call to him. And he will bring you evidence. When I was lost, before I knew the Lord Jesus, very religious, very busy in church, and yet did not know the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior, and lived much of my life, my younger life, in that condition. But when I was given the Word of God, and I was given these verses of Scripture, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think if there was one part that was probably missing in my earlier days was the point of showing me my spiritual condition. No one told me I was lost, dying in my sin. They just kind of said, if you do this, and if you believe this, that's enough. A person needs to know he's lost before you ever need a Savior. You'll never know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior until the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has shown you, the Holy Spirit has shown you your lost condition, that you're lost and you're dying in your sin, and I need a Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus. Then you come by faith to Him. Instead of, as in the past, I said the words, I repeated the words, that was one thing that was very common. To my upbringing was repetition, and in looking back now, I realize that I have said a lot of the right words, but because of the absence of the Spirit convicting my heart and showing me, because of leaving the verses of Scripture out concerning the wages of sin is death, concerning whosoever call upon the name of the Lord, and whosoever confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart, all those verses of Scripture, I didn't hear. And when I went over them repeatedly, they began to convict my heart, as we're going to look up some verses of Scripture today. I realized that I was lost, I realized I needed a Savior, and I called on the Lord Jesus for my salvation. Thomas is saved. Thomas heard the word, trusted in the Lord Jesus, and yet he comes and we have these words of unbelief. Many times, as a believer, the Lord has directed us to do something, and yet we neglect to do that. And the reason we neglect to do that is because it's an act of unbelief. We do not believe God is real. We do not believe that He is going to perform this. Yes, we have trusted Him as our Savior, but that old world comes in so strong against us that it brings in this thought and this time of unbelief. We know here Thomas missed the first. Was he so grieved by the death of the Lord Jesus? Had he forgotten some of his past? Because in walking with the Lord Jesus, he watched the Lord Jesus raise the dead. I believe he was there. Thomas was there when Lazarus was raised. And so he knew that the power of God was available, was capable of raising the dead. Why was it not able to raise himself, being God? And yet Thomas saw fit not to believe. And he not only didn't believe, but he started setting some rules and some regulations on concerning what needed to take place for him to believe. And we know here, according to the 26, after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Same statement he made earlier when he met with the others. Then he saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Be not faithless. He did not call him doubting Thomas here. He just said, "You need to believe. You don't believe. You need to believe." When Thomas come, it was a wonderful time, as we have read these verses of Scripture the second time. Now Thomas is receiving what he's asked for, and we know the wonderful words that Thomas said in verse 28, "My Lord and my God." So he comes to the realization, comes to the acknowledgement of the truth that Jesus is alive. And of course, that's the finish of our redemption, salvation through the Lord Jesus. It begins with the plan of God. It begins with the virgin birth, begins with a perfect life. It continues with the walk the Lord Jesus had. Then we find him walking right into the trial, being arrested, being convicted, being taken to the cross and nailed to the cross, dying on that cross, being taken down off the cross, and then placed into a tomb. And then we find him 3 days and three nights later risen from the dead. And so all this is the work of redemption, and it was finished when he rose from the dead. There are many parts to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. And you can't take any part of that. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, there would be no life. If he had not shed his blood, there would be no life. If he had not died on the cross for us, there'd be no life. If he'd been not perfect, there'd been no life. If he would not have been born of the Virgin, there'd been no life, because he would have been born of man. Then again, he would have been born into sin. He was not. He was perfect. Wonderful message we have in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now here Thomas, he finds that the time to come, and 8 days later. For 8 days he has missed it. We spent just a little bit of time, and I want to do the same today, talking about your missing, what you're missing. What did Thomas miss when he wasn't there? He missed the meeting on Sunday with the other believers. He missed hearing the wonderful words of the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord. He missed seeing the risen Lord. That's what he missed. Now, what do you miss when you don't get to church? You know, when you don't come and hear the Word of God read, when you don't come and sing praises unto God, when you don't come and enjoy the fellowship, it's probably one of the most discouraging things of being a pastor, is that people do not see their spiritual need. They can see every other need they have. They need rest. They need food. They need vehicles. They need a house. And all these things. They see all this need. But every bit of it's a physical need. and they see no spiritual need to get up, stay away from the parties and the things on Saturday night so that they come on Sunday morning awake, ready to hear the Word of God and to sing praises, to help other believers, to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, to win some lost person that's there unto the Lord. All these things are going on. All these wonderful things are going on as we come together to meet. What are you going to miss? What great blessing is there going to be this Sunday night, this Wednesday night, that you will miss because you have made a choice not to come? And whatever that choice is, it's not a good one, because you need to be in the house of God to grow in the Word of God as a believer. Thomas chose not to. Once again, very quickly, what did he miss? He missed coming together with other believers. He missed hearing the wonderful words of the Lord as he spoke to them. And it is wonderful up here as they came together. Jesus stood and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they had saw the Lord. The very things that Thomas said, "I have to see," he missed. And he had to wait a week before he had the opportunity to see him. And so, how many times do you miss those blessings from one week to the next because you neglect your spiritual life? You're starving to death spiritually. Please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ for strength and for power. They have watched the dead be raised, and now they have seen the risen Lord. And there's no question in Thomas's mind. Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." You know, he was doubting, or unbelief, as they called it. One divided that just a little bit, and doubt is one that says, "I cannot believe." To be an unbeliever. Now, you think of unbeliever when we use these words, unbelief. We think of not believing Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. That would be an unbeliever. But unbelief itself can be just something that the Lord is teaching us in His Word that we fail to trust. We fail to see. And today that's very common because our churches, by the day, by the hour, are becoming more and more liberal. They join in with other bodies of people. And they have other beliefs of the Word of God, but everybody's setting this aside because that's not important. The importance is the power in numbers. No, that's not important at all. What is important is God's Word and the truth of His Word. And if you begin to leave that for whatever reason or excuse, His power's gone. Yes, you're saved, but you're not going to have the peace and the joy that these disciples had when they saw the Lord Jesus, and Thomas will find himself with 8 days later when he comes. To have the lack of belief, unbelief. It says, "I will not believe unless you give me the evidence I ask for." That's the very thing Thomas did. Thomas set up, he said, "This is what I want, and if not, I will not believe," verse 25 says. We look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So you see, there's a warning given. So please be very careful that we leave the living God. And we can not lose our salvation, but we can lose our fellowship, and we will. Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." Verse 29 says, Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." Now, it doesn't make mention that Thomas carried through with what his demands were, the demands that were listed earlier, does it? It doesn't mention that at all. It just tells us that Thomas said, answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God," and Jesus comes with the further response, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed, because thou hast seen me. Now, if we walk in the Lord Jesus Christ each day, we need to trust in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We need to trust in His precious blood. We need to know, according to the Word of God, that His precious blood is in the Holy of Holies at the throne of God in heaven right now. The Word of God clearly tells it. Many deny that. Many deny that salvation is by faith and faith alone, that salvation is the grace of God. It is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His work, not ours. He calls us, He pulls us to Him. We have a choice to trust in Him or to reject Him. And when we come by faith to Him for salvation, He comes into our heart, saves us, keeps us eternally. Nothing we can do to get saved. There's nothing we can do to keep saved. It is all a work of God. What we do is turn to Him when He calls. You can reject and not turn. That's how you stay hellbound. Only if you reject. And please, please, that you listen to the call today. I've already testified of what I was taught, and many, as I look back, many times it was right words, the correct words were spoken. But because there was the neglect of the calling for a sinner to be saved, there was no conviction of the Holy Spirit upon my heart for the sin, for the condition I was in. I was all right. And I just sat there and listened and repeated those words. I was fine. There was no personal relationship. There was no decision to make. It was just finished. And it wasn't finished at all. I found that out a few years later. I'm very thankful that one brought me the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And I hope that all are listening. If you have been through that same situation or even going to the same church that I went to and you've never come by faith to Jesus, there is a difference. There's a big difference when you know Jesus as your personal Savior and not just to know of Him, but you know Him in your mind and your heart because you have trusted in Him by faith. Please that you trust in Jesus. Thomas doesn't, it doesn't tell us that he had to thrust his hand into his side. He didn't say that. He didn't tell us that at all. Jesus just says, now that you've seen, you believe. Faith. Everybody has faith. You know, they wonder what kind of faith that different ones have, but everybody has some level, some kind of faith, because you either believe in yourself, what you can do, who you are, you have faith. You believe in that. And there's another here. There's the faith in God, that He is our Savior, that He has died on the cross of Calvary, that we can live because we are sinners, and that Jesus Christ is that Savior, and God the Father sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to save us. Completed that work upon Calvary, came out of that grave 3 days later, and so we now have life. We have our sins taken away, and we have life in Jesus Christ. Please that you see the Lord Jesus. Thomas answered and said, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We have received many years ago, right after I was saved, we went to visit some folks and witnessed to them, fellowshiped with them. One of the most important things in my life to this day is telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's never changed. When I was first saved, I loved telling people. And so you start telling your friends and start talking to folks that you know about the Lord Jesus Christ because you want them to see and to find the same thing. To this day, those folks have never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But those folks sent us after we had visited with them and we returned home. We received a plaque saying just that. Blessed, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. You see, they had to see something more. Instead of calling upon the Lord, the Lord, please show me in my heart, show me in my mind that you're real, that you have died on the cross for me. You've shown me I'm a sinner. Now confirm that you're my Savior. Come into my heart and save me. But instead of them doing that, they had to see more. And as Thomas made some demands here, They didn't. They just backed off and said it must not be anything to it. Well, we have passed now almost 25 years since that time, and they still do not believe, and they have still seen witness and evidence that I do. And so please, as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ for strength and for power, don't be one of these that says, I've got to see more. Thomas did. It's not a good thing to do. Thomas did it, and God answered it. Now, if you do it, or is God going to answer that? I don't know. I know He desires for you to be saved. And so, but please come by faith to Jesus Christ. Listen to His words. Feel the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life that you may know the Lord Jesus. People come to the Lord Jesus Christ not by seeing, but look to Romans 10:17. So then by faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want faith? You come to the studies, to the Bible studies. Listen to the Word of God. Open your Bible up and begin at the beginning of John or the beginning of Romans. Any of the Gospels, read through them, looking for the Lord Jesus and asking that God will show you your sinful condition and asking that He will show you the way to life. He will do that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We look to the 30th verse, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. It could not contain in any book, any volume of book, any place, anywhere, all the things that the Lord Jesus spoke and the miracles He performed. John, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, has given us the ones that we have enjoyed and looked at here in the book of John, and he tells us just that. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. John has chosen, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, these certain events to give us. It is wonderful to see. People are not saved by seeing Jesus physically. When He was here, just to see Jesus did not save them. For people to see the Lord Jesus perform miracles and say, I believe that He can perform miracles, did not save them, did not save one person. There were some miracles that brought people to realize He was God, and then they called on Him as Savior. But just to believe and see the miracles, that doesn't do it. And so you see, to see Jesus physically, and what does He say here? Thomas, because thou hast seen Me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. I have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet I believe. I have come by faith to Him. I've trusted in Him. I know He went to the cross. I know He was perfect. I know He rose from the dead after He went to the cross and died upon the cross. I know He did all that for me. He did that for every sinner that has ever lived. And all we need to do is come by faith and be saved and trust in Him. Oh, to come to the Lord Jesus, to hear the words, to see Him, that doesn't make my faith any stronger, because I know Him to be real and to be true. To watch a miracle that He would perform doesn't make it any stronger, any more powerful, because I know my God is a miracle worker, because He took my sin away, has given me life, and I know that He lives within my heart. And so you see, I enjoy life in Jesus Christ. What was written? It was written for the purpose, as verse 31 says, these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Why are the things recorded that are recorded? It's clear, it's simple. That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. How do you have life? Not by miracles, not by seeing Him, but by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. What a wonderful verses of Scripture. We have a couple other verses of Scripture that I would like to look up, but we're not going to have time to do it today. We'll do it next time we come together. It's wonderful to come and to look to the Word of God. We've spent a lot of time here looking at Thomas and visiting with Thomas to see what the things that he looked at. And it's sad today to see that so many people are unbelievers to begin with. You can change that today if you'll come to Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?